What does the book of Jonah teach us about God's plan to evangelize the nations? What does the book of Jonah show us about ourselves and the need for a Savior? Stay tuned for Abounding Grace Radio.
Proclaiming the good news to a needy world. This is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon.
The book of Jonah is such a special little book in the Old Testament. Often it's just treated as a nice and kind Bible story, divorced from the real message that the Lord intends to give us through this book. We're going to look at that today and see how God had always intended in His great plan for Israel to be a blessing to all the nations through the gospel of their Messiah, of Jesus Christ. And today we get to enjoy that in fulfillment. Thanks for tuning in today to Abounding Grace Radio. Visit us on the web at agradio.org, agradio.org. The number is 888-504-8805, 888-504-8805. Find us on Facebook. We'd love to hear from you. All of your support goes to continue to bring Abounding Grace Radio to you, to this area, to this region of the U.S., Canada, and even into Africa. So your support goes a long way. Do please help us to bring the gospel to many peoples. You can do that right online at agradio.org. We have a PayPal link there. Thanks in advance for all your prayerful and financial support for Abounding Grace Radio. Here is now part two of a message that we aired yesterday from Jonah chapter 1, the descent of Jonah. Thanks for tuning in to Abounding Grace Radio. But here's where knowing a little bit helps us from what Kings tells us about Jonah in 2 Kings chapter 14, where we read that he was a prophet of the Lord during the reign of Jeroboam the second. During his reign, we read in 2 Kings 14 that he had secured the borders. God had witnessed Israel's oppression, and through Jonah, through the prophet Jonah, the Lord was ministering grace to a very wicked king in Israel, Jeroboam the second. I want you to listen to the language from 2 Kings 14. It's really going to help you understand chapter 1. Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel, began to reign in Samaria, and he reigned 41 years. And he did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. He did not depart from all the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, which he made Israel to sin. He restored the border of Israel from Lebo Hamath as far as the Sea of Arabah, according to the word of the Lord, the God of Israel, which he spoke by his servant Jonah, the son of Amittai the prophet, who was from Gath-Hepher. Now listen to this. For the Lord saw that the affliction of Israel was very bitter, for there was none left, bond or free, and there was none to help Israel. But the Lord had not said that he would blot out the name of Israel from under heaven. So he saved them by the hand of Jeroboam, the son of Joash. What a moment in Israel's history. We read the Old Testament and we think it was all about judgment, 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 don't you? Well, it's important to say the Lord had a desire of mercy. Kept saying it, I desire mercy and not sacrifice. In this case, in this particular moment, in history, through this prophet Jonah, he was helping a discouraged Israel. He was helping an Israel that was hard. He was helping an Israel that was constantly turning its back to the Lord. He was helping a people through a very bitter hardship, the Lord was, through Jonah. And the purpose, of course, was to encourage Israel to repentance. Here's the thing. Jonah was used to see a gospel ministry unfold to a rebellious people. Mercy God wanted to show to Israel. This was Jonah's ministry, a gospel ministry to Israel. You'll notice there, it said, the Lord, there was nobody to help, but the Lord said he would not blot them out, so he saved them. It was through Jonah's ministry. But you know what Israel did? They kept on rejecting the Lord. Calls to worship would happen. Place would be empty. Kept worshiping false idols. Nobody took it seriously. Israel kept rejecting. Jonah kept preaching grace. Jonah kept preaching it. Jonah kept preaching, gospel, calling people back. They wouldn't hear it. Even though God had restored the borders, they wouldn't hear it. Even though God had returned them, they wouldn't hear it. Just an outward attachment to the whole thing. Nothing real. Well, Jonah saw that gracious deliverance, unmerited, unfold, anticipating something to a rebellious Israel. This is what makes Jonah unique. His ministry was unique. It's a very powerful ministry. I made the distinction last time between the ministries of Elijah and Elisha. They were not the same kinds of ministries. They had totally different kinds of feels to them. Elijah brought back the law to Israel. Elisha, you see the whole anticipation of New Testament gospel ministry. You just see it in Elisha. Jonah's like that. It's frustrating to keep preaching grace when you see no response. You know? It's frustrating to keep preaching these things because you want to thunder down, don't you? To get people cleaned up, to get people to take it seriously. And the law does that. That's the purpose. That's important. But sometimes you begin to wonder when you have a gracious ministry that you're constantly unfolding to a people, you wonder, does it work? Begin to struggle with that a little bit. Are these people listening to it? What does the worship show? Is there a heart to be there? Or is it empty formality? Is it just attachment for other reasons? What is it? This is Jonah. But Jonah knew something else. Here's what Jonah knew. Even as an old covenant prophet, he still is an old covenant prophet. There is a time when God would do something. In other words, when there was no response, after a long period of his exercising of mercy, Jonah knew the consequences. What were the consequences? Deuteronomy 32. Listen to what the Lord says. Israel has made me jealous. Listen to this. They have made me jealous with what is not a god. They've provoked me to anger with their idols. So, I will make them jealous with those who are no people. I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. Now, did you hear that? After a long period of God extending his hand all day long, I stretched out my hand to a disobedient people, to Israel. You hear what God said? There's a point at which what I'm going to do, if they don't respond to all these advances, I will go to another people. He would take his work of making a people out of no people to be his people. Now, this gets to the heart of the book tonight, doesn't it? This gets to the heart of the book. Israel was not responding. That's the long history of Israel. This is Romans 9 through 11. Jonah was studied. Jonah knew the old covenant. Jonah knew what the message was. He knew the consequences. And now you understand verse 1. Get up, go to the capital empire of your enemies and preach. No way. I'm not going there. There's no way I'm going there. Why aren't you going? Well, God said, I want you to go and preach judgment against them. You'd think he'd want that. Well, listen to chapter 4. When the Lord and Jonah finally have a good conversation about this, And he prayed to the Lord and said, "Oh Lord, is this not what I said when I was yet in my country? That is why I made haste to flee to Tarshish, for I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love, and relenting from disaster." Where is he talking about? Nineveh. "I knew what you were going to do. You're going to send me there, and you weren't going to exercise judgment. You and your sovereignty were going to turn their hearts to you. I wanted nothing to do with that." This is a remarkable moment in the Old Testament, isn't it? I know what you're going to do. I know what you're like. You're merciful. You're gracious. You turn hearts. You're going to deal with and turn that nation to you and provoke all of us to anger. I know the old covenant. It's a great story, because now what happens is the irony of the whole text, which there are so many here. Jonah becomes a mini picture of Israel himself. He begins to represent Israel's own defiance. And here's where the story comes together tonight. For what is about to happen now on a mini level is God recreates in the life of Jonah for us to study a miniature version of the story of how God is going to bless the nations through Israel. This is the whole story. What we have is God pursuing Israel now. God's pursuing Israel now, with the intent that Israel will fulfill her purpose in being, as was promised to Abraham, a blessing to all the nations. So that's how the Lord works here. That's what happens now. In verse 4, we read that the Lord, as Jonah is heading down and he's in the ship and he's sleeping, hurls a giant storm, so that the ship itself is sort of personified here and realizes it's breaking up. The mariners are in the boat, directly affected by this action of Jonah. We read that they're afraid in verse 5, and every man cried out to his God. And the picture here is they began to pick up their cargo in the boat, and they begin to hurl it. God hurled the storm. They hurl their cargo back at God to try to appease him. It's remarkable, isn't it? The mariners understand somebody's angry. The mariners understand in their belief that the sea god Yom is furious and we've got to appease him. They're crying out to their gods. Deliver us. Save us. Here's Jonah in the lowest part of the boat, asleep. He's asleep. Running from the true God of heaven and earth, who's blessed him in so many ways, asleep. Here are these pagans crying out in prayer. Jonah's asleep. It's a big moment, isn't it? What was the prophet supposed to do? Well, think of what the captain does at this point. Captain comes running to Jonah. "What are you doing, sleeper? Arise, call on your God. Perhaps your God will consider us so that we won't die." Now, if you're paying attention, that's a repeat of the very call God gave him. Through the sailor now, through the captain, the same call is given. Get up. Stand up. That's what God said at the beginning. A pagan's crying out now. God's speaking to the pagan. Nineveh, see the irony? Nineveh's crying out. Jonah wanted nothing to do with it. The sailors are crying out, giving the original call, crying for what God sent him to do in the first place. "Jonah, save us." Hear it? "Save us, Jonah." You hear that voice all around you? Utter desperation these people are in. All their gods were mere vanities, useless and unprofitable. They're in desperate need of salvation from the true God of Israel, the only God of heaven and earth, who created the seas and all that is in them. And this very original call that God had given Jonah to begin with, arise, get up, the very words of life, he cared not for any of these people that were perishing. You know, people today spend all kinds of time in devotion to things, don't they? People devote their entire lives to fighting for the environment, to saving the earth, serving the creation rather than the Creator who is forever blessed. That's Romans 1. How much do we sleep? Not praying, not trusting as we ought, carelessly coming before Him in worship. Hard to get God's people even to come back Sunday nights at times for worship. For some reason, this is just like pulling teeth for many people. How many cross your path every day who are crying out for salvation? And you have it. Wandering aimlessly through life. No hope. Let a little disaster come. Look at them panic. Arise, sleeper. Arise, sleeper. Jonah's downward spiral had carried his heart so far from God that his hardness of heart blinded him to his entire purpose for even being here. A little slumber, a little sleep. Go to the ant, you sluggard. You're wasting your life. The sailors begin to cast lots to try to figure out this madness and this mess. Obviously, a fire had come down from heaven to stir up the sea, right? Considering this morning. The mariners begin an interrogation of Jonah. And Jonah, for the first time, begins to confess in verse 9. I'm a Hebrew, he says. After they ask him, what is your country? Where do you come from? Of what people are you? He says, I'm a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. I'm a Hebrew. Did you hear it? My God is Lord over all. He made all this. What have you done? They knew of the God of Israel. Everyone knew of the God of Israel. And here's the moment. Feeling the weight of the burden. He's waking. When asked by the sailors how to make the sea calm, he offers himself. He says, hurl me over. Feel the language here. God hurled the storm. The sailors hurled what they had. And Jonah says, hurl me. It'll calm. Mariners are deathly afraid now. We can't throw this man over. Can't put this man to death. They go to the Lord. Don't charge us with innocent blood. We read in verse 15 that they picked up Jonah and they hurled him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. Do you see the story? Has it come together a little bit yet? Jonah said, I want nothing to do with Nineveh because I know that you are the God of heaven and earth. I know what you're going to do. I know that you're going to turn to the Gentiles. I know that you're going to bring salvation to the Gentiles. I see how Israel's responding. But this blessing to the nations had to come through Israel. So that by the time the first chapter is done, Jonah has been called to arise, hearing the cries of the perishing Gentiles. By the end of the first chapter, he's offered himself. And now, hurled into the sea, the fish has swallowed him. Jonah goes into the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. we know the story, is going to rise from the dead and go out and preach the gospel to Nineveh. You know this story. You know this story. This one, not only when we think about the story that we celebrate, what an antitype. The one who in the boat was sleeping gets up and with the word of his mouth can calm the storm, right? But who willingly offered himself as the once for all sacrifice, the propitiation to satisfy the wrath of God against us. He went there for us with an obedient heart. The only way God's wrath is satisfied. And you see, Jonah then in all of his failure tells us to look for the one who would come as much more a greater than Jonah, but who would bring salvation to the ends of the earth. Israel had to produce a savior. Israel had to produce a champion. This was always Israel's purpose, Paul said in Romans 9, for from them would come the Messiah. And he did. Isn't it a remarkable moment that even in Jonah's failure, disobedience, and rebellion, Jonah became the means by which the mariners were saved? And the story of Jonah makes us look for a better Savior. See, you're so used to this story, but imagine seeing this now in fulfillment and thinking about it as an Old Testament story, knowing what you know. Jonah tells us to look for a better Savior who knew the love of God, who understood that the Lord was gracious and compassionate, and had a desire to bless the nations because of his great covenant of grace made to Abraham, had a desire for a gospel ministry to go to the ends of the earth. And knowing this deliverer, knowing that God so loved the world, he gave his son, the Father did. And this only begotten son offered himself. He laid down his life so that wrath would be turned away from all who believe. Here were a group of men outside of Israel, even when Jonah had fled, who received the truth of who God is. And all of this anticipates what we enjoy tonight, that God would open his door to the nations, and that today, Paul says in Romans 9, you make Israel jealous when you believe the gospel and respond the way you're supposed to respond. I will provoke them to jealousy with a foolish nation. That's you. With a people that were not a people, that are now my people. That's you. All because of a Savior who loved. Can't help but to think of Paul's doxology in Romans 11. We should sing, but we'll sing it next time. Oh, the depths, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his ways and his judgments past finding out. Be thankful. But I want to say in closing, remember who you are. Arise, sleepers. You have salvation. A lot of people out there this week, I'm sure you could talk to and encourage. A lot of people you could be a blessing to. That's what we should think about, having so great a salvation given to us in the blood of the Lamb. Let's thank him tonight in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word to us. And thank you for your gospel that's shown all over the pages of Scripture. Thank you for this plan that you've taught, and that this is not plan B, but that it was always your plan that is here shown to save a people to yourself from every tribe, tongue, people, and nation. Thank you, Lord, for being merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness. Thank you for your covenant of grace made through Abraham. Thank you for the gospel of salvation in Jesus. May we learn from this as we should, to take seriously your commands to us, for we see how far we can run and harden ourselves in sin, to take seriously the call to care for others and understand our purpose, and to speak the wonderful works of God to people who are lost, to testify that it is the Lord God who made the earth and the sea and all that is in them, and it is Jesus Christ by whom all men can be saved. Thank you for so great a message to us tonight. In Jesus' name we pray.
You've been listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Call us toll-free at 888-504-8805. Once again, 888-504-8805. Or contact us on the web at agradio.org. That's agradio.org. Connect with us on Facebook. Look for Abounding Grace Radio Ministry. Listen daily on this station or subscribe to the AG Radio podcast in iTunes or use our free Android app. Thanks for listening. And remember, where sin abounded, grace abounded more.